What's up, guys and girls? Welcome to the Rocky Pee Adventures podcast. I am Keith.
I'm Mel.
And we are going to give you a dose of, well, we're going to talk about personality test again.
Yeah, the latest one that we did.
We talked about the Enneagrams.
That's my favorite.
We talked about the Myers-Briggs.
Like it too.
And tonight we're going to talk about the Big Five personality test, more commonly maybe known as the Ocean test.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But if you research it, it'll be the Big Five.
The Big Five.
But it's scored on a scale called the Ocean. So I call it the Ocean test.
The Ocean.
Hence the name of this podcast, Ocean. The Big Five personality test.
Yes. I wish I was at the ocean.
Yeah. Why?
Summertime.
Nobody likes the ocean.
I do. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's okay. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, we got to start off with a little bit of hilarity. Maybe. Maybe not. It might be funny to you or weird, but we definitely know.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
That's right, Mr. Yeah. Cartman.
He's back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's time for it.
Yeah, it's time for it. So this week in the news.
People selling more crazy-ass shit on eBay.
So, like, really, I might need to get into this whole, like, eBay. Just auction shit off and see what happens.
Like, here's a booger from last week. No?
What?
I don't know. People bought Kurt Cobain. I guess I'm not famous, so nobody would want
that. That wasn't on eBay.
Oh, that was just in general.
That was an auction.
Oh, well, this is
eBay. That was an auction. But this is an eBay.
Like, you could make some Jesus toast. You know, everybody always says, I see Jesus on my toast. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
I can do that shit all day long.
Right?
So.
Man makes toast and sees Jesus on it.
Yeah. Sells so on if eBay. You don't know, there's this game called Among Us. And Among Us is like an online multiplayer game.
Yeah, my kids at school love it.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand it. Like, I tried to play it one time because I, you know, whenever my kids talk about things at school, I always feel like, well, I should investigate it and
it's
see if there's something
game.
That I could, like, whatever. And I guess I must have played, like, a tutorial or, like, something. I didn't get into, like, where I was playing with other people.
Yeah, it's a fairly not complicated game. It's a pretty interesting game. So, basically, it's, like, a multiplayer game with a bunch of people. You're, like, these little alien-looking dudes.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out who the bad person is, right? Am I understanding that?
Well, you're a team of people who are trying to get your ship back to wherever its destination is because it's breaking down. And there's one person that's an alien imposter among you.
Oh, and so he's sus, huh?
So the alien or whoever the imposter is kills somebody off. And once they find the body, they have to vote off. You know, they got to figure out who it is. But if they don't vote off the alien, then if you're not, you know, if they don't figure out who it is, they go back to doing their business. Until somebody wins.
Oh, I got you.
So it's a pretty fairly interesting game.
The little people are very, like, recognizable. The little cartoon people. Like, you see them around a lot now.
So now that you know Among Us, and if you've not seen it, just go look it up, because it's going to be easier to understand. But a McDonald's chicken nugget that bears the resemblance to the player characters in the popular video game Among Us is probably going to sell on eBay. I'm not sure.
It closed at 100,000. Did close. I just read another article that was beside
so
that one.
It closed for $100,000. So a McDonald's chicken nugget has officially closed for $100,000 because it bears the resemblance of an Among Us.
But it was also found in the special edition.
It's a BTS.
BTS meal. So yeah,
so if you don't know BTS, that's the Korean.
Like, the lore of it.
That's the K-pop band that's very, 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 very popular around the world. I like them. I play them a lot.
Yeah, you do. That's why I figured this was very interesting to you. So would you pay $100,000 for an Among Us BTS
chicken
nugget meal?
Man, I wouldn't pay $1 for a fucking...
That guy also said he had just one sauce because it must come with the meal. And he said he would send it for free. Word yet if he sent it.
But I think what caught on was that the actual Among Us Twitter account started to
were they doing
chime
it
in on it. So
sense.
It kind of gave up
flavor.
Damn,
helping the guy up, man.
Yeah, but I mean, you're going to make, if this actually pans out and this dude makes $100,000 off a chicken nugget, like
Damn.
Seriously.
That's kind of crazy. Those are your better odds of finding an Among Us chicken nugget than you are winning the lottery, I think. Because those chicken nuggets, you are all weird. That's pretty awesome, though. Hey, good for him for being creative.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, but that also
goes good on him for finding somebody who wants to buy that shit.
That also goes to show you the level that people will buy stuff for no purpose at all.
Yeah, because what are you going to do with that chicken nugget?
Eat it?
Ew.
And I mean, they can last for 14 days.
Yeah, yeah. He said he'd send it in time.
Yeah, you can eat it. But I mean, you just spent you're paying $100,000 to eat. I can think of
a lot better things to spend $100,000 on than a dang chicken nugget.
Most of them have four wheels under it.
Yeah, especially out of a BTS meal from McDonald's.
Yeah, so it's crazy. So I mean, think about it. Tell us what you think about the Among Us chicken nugget for $100,000. I mean, because I'm going to assume, and I'm going to assume this, all right, that nobody that listens to this show, all five of them,
are going to buy a chicken nugget
for $100,000.
Hell no. And if they are and they've got that kind of cash, hook us up.
Yeah, you can support us. Make this like a full-time thing. I mean, you could just drop $100,000.
I'll wear a damn Among Us costume if that's like, if you're into that. Yeah, I mean, I'll send you feet picture if that's what you're into. I don't give a damn.
What?
Huh? OnlyFans? What?
What?
Huh?
What is this?
People pay for feet.
Okay.
Literally, dudes pay for feet. Feet pictures. They'll pay you money for feet pictures.
But that's your thing. That's your thing.
Yeah. I could probably be making some money, though. I mean, look at those feet. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so we're thinking about starting up the podcast live. We've been talking about it, something that we're going to get into since we're...
Now, we like talking about chicken on this show. I do know that a chicken nugget from McDonald's does not resemble a chicken leg, though. I do know that part.
God, I hope so. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
What? It's fine.
Yeah, sure.
I know.
You know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Yeah. Joe. Oh.
Yeah, a real American hero he is.
Yes, I am too. Damn it. I'm not an American hero. It's
no.
True.
Anyways, we're talking, we are in the talks with our management team. We've got people that we got to talk to about going live. We thought it'd be fun just that you could see how we kind of just sit here and jibber jab. You can see all the crazy faces she makes and all the faces I make at her by like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, those ones.
Yeah. We'll go live on YouTube, on our YouTube channel at some point. We're really trying to produce more content, but it's been a busy year, end of year for her. We even had to take a week off. You know, living the life, you know, we do the 9 to 5 or the 8 to 5, or for me, the 7 to 4.
That's what I do.
7 to 4.
8 to 4.
Really?
Yeah, I work 8 to 4. Because I don't leave for lunch. That's why I don't work.
I don't leave for lunch either.
Well, you work an extra hour.
I do.
anyway, I do not.
Yeah, I do. Anyways, stay tuned for that. She will probably post something on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll decide.
And our Facebook. It won't be
next Tuesday, but it might be the following Tuesday.
Yeah, we got to gear up. I got to finish doing some scenes and stuff to get it set up to stream. But we'll do some test runs. We might do like a little live video here. We might try to do some off night live stuff, maybe like some First Listen Friday live nights. Just pay attention to those. We've kind of gotten away from a bunch of stuff and we'll see how it works. We might even try to do an Instagram live with things. We just really like to, you know, put some stuff out there and see how it works.
Yeah.
Talk about Enneagrams, talk about personality tests, talk about relationships. Hell, we might just talk about nothing. Or try to, you know, explain biology to the girl.
Yeah.
Especially chicken biology.
Chicken's tricky.
They got two legs. One in their rings and one at their butt.
The drumette. Chicken leg. Drumstick, drumette, smaller. I don't know, just a little chicken.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk about the Big Five personality test.
Yeah.
And,
or as we like to call it, ocean.
Yeah, here we go. And we're back.
Oh, wow. That was super enthusiastic.
Actually, I was in the middle of a yawn, and I was like figuring out how to play it off. I
wondered about that.
I was playing that one off.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So tonight, we're going to kind of finish up our talks about personality tests. I think it's important to understand your personality, to understand your partner's personality. I meant to understand your kid's personality. Understand everybody's personality. It's a cult of personality.
Ooh, nice reference.
Yeah, you like that.
Yeah, I did.
But seriously, though, I really take these things pretty seriously. I mean, not that they're like super specific. They can't be vague in general. Not that you can't fake them. Not that you can't get the score that you want if you think hard enough on them. But if you do these legitimately with real honest answers and go into it like you're really trying to figure out who you are.
Yeah, I don't even think about them. Like, I just hit the button.
Yeah.
First instinct. Just gut reaction.
Very self-aware of yourself. I think it helps you understand who you are a lot. And when it comes to the personality test, this one is I don't want to say it's like different, but it is a little bit different in the way it goes about like scoring you.
Yeah, this one was kind of interesting for me.
Yeah, so I mean, it gives us some pretty big insights on who we are, which obviously that's not mine.
Is that mine? No, that's not me either.
So yeah.
Awesome.
Okay, there we go. I'm loading up my scores and I'm like, hold on, that's not right. But anyways, the Big Five personality test is scoring you on five different personality traits.
Ocean.
It's the ocean, like I was talking about in the beginning. It's scoring you on openness, which I'm going to describe these because you may hear openness and you have something in your mind and it's not what you think because.
Yeah, and I think that's what was jacking me up on this was like what I think the words meant until I looked because I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm glad you're going through that.
Yeah, this will help everybody out if you're listening to understand what you're really scoring yourself on. Openness, it describes a person's tendency to think in an abstract and complex way or in complex ways. The higher scores in openness, you tend to be more creative, more adventurous, and intellectual. They kind of play with, like, ideas, maybe discovering.
Was this the one that had to do with art?
Yeah, I think so. Low scores tend to be more practical, conventional, and focused on concrete things. So just think of it like this, you know, more logical and abstract on either end. Because you score low doesn't mean it's bad. You score low because you're more of an analytical,
and this was good about thinking. That. I thought that was interesting about this, is that instead of like the usual way they gave you negatives, they actually said, okay, if you scored this way, you're more tending to be this way. But if you scored this way, I thought that was kind of interesting with this one.
Yeah. The next, so that was the O. The C in ocean is the conscientiousness. Yes. Mm-hmm. Conscientiousness.
Whoa.
Being conscientious.
Conscientiousness. Okay.
This describes the, now if you think about it, you're like, oh, conscientious. You know, you're like.
Aware.
Considerate.
Oh.
I think considerate.
Well, I think aware.
Aware, okay. Well, I'm different. But this describes a person's ability to exercise self-discipline and control in order to pursue their goals.
Yeah.
So people who score high in this are more organized, determined, and are able to forego, like, immediate gratification for the sake of long-term achievement. So, like, you're not looking for the little pat on the backs, attaboy kind of things. You're looking at getting something completed over a long period of time. Yeah. Like, let's say you're building a house, so to speak. You don't care to get a pat on the back once you get the rough framing of the walls up or if you get the drywall up. You're looking at getting that pat on the back when the complete project, that house is ready to move into. That's when you're like, that's what you're focused on. You're not focused on the little shit. But those who score towards the other end are more impulsive and easily sidetracked. So you squirrel all the time.
Yeah.
So that's the conscientiousness.
Okay.
One, the E in ocean is extroversion. So
what we think it is?
Kind of what we think it is, a person's inclination to seek stimulation from the outside world, especially in the form of attention from other people. Extroverts engage actively with others to earn friendship, admiration, power, status, excitement, and romance. Introverts, on the other hand, this is what I like. this, they describe it other better than the other ones do, because I think when we talked about the other ones, it was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So here, introverts, on the other hand, conserve their energy. They don't work hard to earn social rewards. So where I think of an introvert as somebody who shies away from public attention, this is more of somebody who is conserving their efforts.
Oh.
Because they're not really seeking to be this, like, outspoken, in the center of attention person. So where I'm an extrovert in my Myers-Briggs,
I can see where you would be an introvert on this.
Yeah. Like, I would score more towards the introvert side. So
very interesting.
And then there's agreeableness. So think about being agreeable.
Yeah.
What do you think of?
Somebody who's a pushover.
Pushover. Okay. Somebody who, like, just is like a yes person.
Matter.
Like a yes person.
They're just going to do whatever the status quo is.
Right. So
go with the flow with everybody else. Like, not stand up for themselves or not, like, not a leadership role necessarily. More of like the crew.
So this describes a person's tendency to put others ahead of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they focus on others' needs before their own needs.
They're you. Yeah.
Like a kind of empathetic person. They cooperate. They're more cooperative than competitive.
Oh, okay.
So they're people who, not that they go along with the flow, but they cooperate with everybody. They work with other people, where some people compete, in a sense, with other people to get ahead.
Gotcha.
The higher scorers in this category have a great deal of empathy. They love serving others and taking care of other people. That's where they get their pleasure from. Where, of course, on the opposite side, those who score low in this definitely are less empathetic. And they, I would say, just, let's just use the word selfish. Not in a bad way, but they just tend to put their needs before others.
I got you. Okay.
Okay. And then the last one is, that was the A in Ocean, so that's agreeableness. And then you have the N in Ocean, which is neuroticism. Neuroticism, when you think of neuroticism, what do you think of?
A nut.
A nut, crazy person.
That's like you're neurotic about something.
Neurotic. Okay, well, I get that. So neuroticism in this scoring chart will describe a person's their experience with negative emotions, whether it's fear, sadness, anxiety, guilt, shame, I guess anger too. I mean, we all experience. Okay, so one, we all experience these emotions.
Yeah, they live there more.
They're more prone to focus on them than other people would.
Okay.
So you could say that it's kind of like, a neuroticism is kind of like your alarm system.
Oh, gotcha.
People who experience like negative emotions, it's a sign that something is wrong in the world. Like, oh my God, I'm fearful, or this happens and I'm super fearful because everything's just going to implode.
I got you.
You may be in danger, so you feel fear. Maybe you did something wrong, which it might not be that bad, but you feel this like extreme amount of guilt and shame.
Okay.
Kind of thinking like it really brings you down. Not everyone reacts the same to, you know, certain situations. Mm-hmm. So people who score high in this react, very overwhelmingly with like fear or anger. Like they really get like super angry or super fearful. Like,
okay,
think about a person. All right. So think about it like this. Think about a person who has a phobia.
Mm-hmm.
That's neuroticism.
Yeah.
Like you see a spider and you freak out, you jump on the couch and you scream, ah, go kill it.
I don't know anybody. Who
that's an exaggeration
like that.
Of fear. That is your...
There's nobody in this room that does that.
Yeah. I didn't even use that because of you. That's the first thing I went through. Right. But for some of us, like me, I'm like...
Yeah, it doesn't even faze you.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't like it because one crawled up my booty cheek when I was little. My mom threw... Did I tell you that story?
Yeah.
My mom threw a spider in the toilet and didn't flush it and it didn't die. And so I went in there when I was little and went to the bathroom and the spider crawled up my butt cheek. And it freaks me out because who would think that a spider would be on you when you're going to the bathroom?
Me?
No.
You always check the
freaks
toilet.
Freaks me out. I didn't look. I
always
know.
Check it
little.
For snakes.
A toilet spiders. For snakes?
Oh, hell yeah.
Here?
Everywhere.
What?
Yeah.
Shush.
Always check the toilet for snakes.
I have never checked the toilet for snakes.
Well, I mean, you get in a habit when you go to the desert all the time and you sit on a porta potty.
That's true.
So it's just kind of like a habit. But I know people who have had snakes in their toilets.
No, I've seen crazy shit like that, like in Florida and stuff. They'll pull out like a boa constrictor and that fucker's been hanging out in their toilet. Holy shit. Like an alligator king in your toilet?
No.
Oh.
Come on. More
shit I don't know.
If an alligator gets in your toilet, it would have to be a baby alligator.
It'd bite your balls.
But I don't think they have the ability to get through the lines.
Like I didn't even know to look for snakes.
I mean, it's not like something that happens every day.
I never look for anything in the toilet. I mean, I do for like, no, I don't.
I always look for like a spider or a centipede or something crawling
around. You're grossing me out.
I know. Now I'm going to give you this freak fear factor.
Oh, I don't like that.
But anyways, so people who score low, just like I said, they just brush shit off and move on. So
okay.
So that's your ocean, your openness, your conscientiousness, extroversion, your agreeableness, and your neuroticism. Man, these are big words, and I have terrible, terrible enunciation problems.
You did a good job, though. I'm proud of you.
So we both took this test because this is one of the ones we've never taken. And what they'll do is they'll rate you on a percentage scale.
What's considered to be high or low?
Well, I mean,
like 70 or above would be considered high and 30 or below. Like, I mean, because some of these are mid-range, just like you are. So I'm just curious. You like, may be like a little bit of both then? Is that what that
like, okay, for one, is? We didn't pay to have the full report. Well, I'm not so paying them. I'll use my openness score as an example. Like I scored 58% on the openness.
I was 71%.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I figured I'd be lower, but I do have some creativity to me.
Yeah, for sure.
But the average person is at 58%. So I'm average when it comes to my openness.
Oh, okay.
I don't know about the rest of it. I'm not paying $19 just to see it.
I'm above average.
Yeah, you're above average.
In openness. So
I would say maybe looking at scoring high or low, you could break it into thirds, maybe like 33 and below.
Yeah.
Or you can look at the average, like you're below average, average, or above average.
Gotcha. You know? Okay. But so you're average on that. You're about like
I'm average
else.
On that. So, but anyway, so like my O is 58%. Yes. Yours is?
71%.
So my conscientiousness is 98%.
Mine's 87.5%. So we're both conscientious. Yeah. What was that one again?
That was your...
Self-control,
organization, detail.
Oh, then that's really interesting for you.
Why?
Well, because I think you're super organized at work, but I would not say that you're necessarily a planner in life.
But it's not about being planned.
Oh, it's the long-term thing. Yeah, never mind. It's not type A.
Well, but
yeah,
it's not just long-term. It's being impulsive and distracted easily.
You're not, no.
Yeah, everything I do is focused. Like, if I do something, I'm focused and I'm organized. Like, if you go into my garage, my shit's in place.
You literally are like, I'm going to build this desk. And then the next thing you know, on Saturday, you're going to go get the stuff. Like, you're very goal-oriented.
Yeah, so I mean, it's
not. Yeah, that's true. I'm not surprised by that for both of us. No. We do follow through with a lot of things.
My extroversion is 60%.
Mine's 90.
Yeah, so you can see where that kind of falls in line where... I am an extrovert in a sense, like, I don't mind being in public spaces. I can make new friends on my own.
Like, 60% of the time, to me, it looks like a time thing almost for you. Like, 60% of the time, but then 40% of the time, you got to have your own savior energy.
Yeah, I guess that's right. But I think it's more not like really focused on like 60% of the time I'm an extrovert. It's more of like, I'm prone to be more like.
You need the downtime.
Yeah, that and. I'm not overly seeking attention because I don't need attention in my life or I don't need relationships.
I'm not even surprised by mine.
Yeah. No, I'm not either.
I'm an attention whore.
Oh, yes, you are. And it's not a bad thing. It's just how you are. It's like what you feed off of. You love relationships. You love being around people. You love talking.
Yeah, it gives me energy.
Yeah, you feed off of other people. Me, I'm like other people drag me down. But I don't, but I can
But you don't shy away from it, though.
Right. I'm not fearful of that. I'm not a person who... But I don't need that in my life, but I am that person.
It makes your life better, but you would be fine without it. I would be sad.
I'm definitely outgoing.
Yeah, I would be sad.
Yeah. The A, which is agreeableness.
You're just low as shit.
I'm 37.5%.
That's your lowest one.
Well, yeah, because it's...
So you're selfish asshole? Huh? What was that?
I think when it comes down, I'm more competitive than I am cooperative.
Oh, mine was 62.5.
But it's higher, yeah. But I think it's, but you also have to remember that we're both competitive people.
Yeah, but mine's not. Mine's the opposite of that. Mine would be that I'm forgo my own self for others.
Right. You're more a cooperative person. You are more helping other people.
Yeah.
You put people's needs before your own a lot more than you
should.
No. Mm. Don't say that shit.
Sometimes.
No, it's not should. You're only 60. You're not
100%. No, that's true.
You're not 80%.
Okay, then I'm a good balance.
Yeah, I think that's fine. But just because you're 100% on agreeableness doesn't mean anything. It just means you're, you know, you're a very selfless person. You're like Mother Teresa or some shit like that. You're a person who sees other people's needs and you would want to help them. You would go out of your way to help them. You see their needs
more.
Okay,
I see your point.
It's not.
Well, then I'm okay with my number.
Again, like, don't take these things to be bad, like, because you're, like, you're not a pushover because you're 100% agreeable.
Yeah, or
in
I
this,
got you.
In this chart, you know.
I think I'm getting, because in traditional things, like, that would be considered bad. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's why I think I'm, like, messing it up.
But this is the
head.
Problem. Yeah, but this is the problem. You, people
this one's
take,
different.
Right, people take kindness for weakness. People take charity
because
for weakness.
Because nobody's nice.
Because that, because human beings are not built to be charitable. Charitability and love and caring and things are something that is that I don't think is exclusively innate to human beings. We have those, we have that ability in us,
but
that's something that's cultured and built in yourself, and it's something that's unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I can be caring. I do care about people. I am thoughtful in a sense to a certain level, but my personality doesn't tend to go there. But also, it's not about just being caring for other people. Agreeableness also comes down to the fact that, are you cooperative or competitive? Like, when I get into situations, I'm very competitive. I want to be the best at my job. So I will think about myself and my job before I think about others.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's dog eat dog. That's how I think. Other people in work be like, oh, you know, we'll do this, blah, 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 blah. I do that in a sense of not for helping you, but for me. Like, I'm going to do this so I can be better at my job and be and get that pay raise or move up in that position.
Yeah, and I'm in a position in my job that that's not even the case. So yeah. I think, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, I could do all the extra stuff. It doesn't give me anything.
Right. But it's, but for me, it's a competitive
nature
thing.
Yeah, I get that.
Thing.
I can see that.
But see, again, people are like, oh, you're selfish. I was like, well, actually, it's just my competitive nature. You know, I want to win at everything.
Yeah.
You know, some, and, but that's why you're higher.
I'm
you're
competitive
lower,
about certain things.
Right. That's why you're not like 80%. That's why you're more 60% because you still have a competitive streak. But at the same time, you would not be as competitive with people if you knew it would help them and get them further in their life too.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. And it's a good thing both ways. Of course, in this area, I think, you would tend to be more selfish, which is not always the best. I score, if you score like 0% on this, you definitely have some issues.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not complaining. I don't think you should look at it as a bad thing. It's just where you're at in it.
Yeah.
And the last one is the neuroticism. I'm 54%.
I'm 29.
Yeah. But I think this also plays into the fact that I have mental illnesses. I have depression, PTSD, and things like that. So I literally have a mental, my mental health is different. So it puts me, I figured I would be higher neurotic. But it's also, you know, like anger. I mean, I have a terrible anger issue sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not at like people, it's at things. It's like in certain situations, it's how, it's not like you're an angry person all the time. It's how you react to situations. That's the
neuroticism. Your first go-to sometimes is anger. And not with me. Like, let's clarify that because.
Yeah, let's clarify. I'm not beating her.
No, I mean, you're never been that way towards me, not ever. But I do see it though.
But it's situations. It's not people. It's not how you react to people because of who people are.
No, it's reaction to situations.
It's situation. Like somebody cuts you off in traffic. What do you do when somebody cuts you off in traffic?
You
may do this, but I throw middle fingers and want to fight people.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It is, but it's my trigger. But then again, you have to play off the fact of like PTSD things for me.
That
where,
is your normal response. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's either extreme fear, shutdown, or extreme anger and blow up. You know, that's my two things because of my PTSD and because of my and my other couple of disorders that I have.
Yeah.
So you get into those places where you're like, arr, you know.
It's
so,
just the way that you're dealing with it.
Yeah, so
in that situation.
So like think about it like this. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, it's an instance of causing danger. Rise danger up, clicks into PTSD, clicks into the fact that...
Yeah, flight or fight.
So, and I have more of a fight method than a flight.
Yeah.
Even if I get my ass whooped, I'm going to go toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done this year. And this is the thing. That's something that's happened because of the effects of the trauma to my brain.
Sure.
Where I wasn't like that when I was a kid. When I was a teenager, I would flight.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not getting in a fight. I'm not going to fight you.
Just the way your brain's now programmed itself to.
Then after going to military and dealing with what I did, and then now coming out and all the other shit I've done in my life,
right?
And getting to this point, and then having that one trigger, now it's like I'm like a fucking. I'm the Incredible Hulk. Like, get me pissed off, I turn green and don't want to smash shit.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Now, if I would have taken this as a teenager, all this shit may have been backwards.
Yeah,
I do think there's some things in your life that plays to it. I think mental health. Your mental state.
Well, especially for the end, it has to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's no way it can't.
Yeah. So, I'm not highly neurotic.
No, and I...
And again, and I don't know what the average of it is.
Yeah, so, we're not paying for that part.
Yeah, and I'm not paying to see exactly the details of it. But it also gives you a couple of other things. It tells you what your personality pattern is. The personality pattern has four different core...
I'm not even surprised quarters. By yours.
So they have a circle. It's split into four pieces of pie. There's an empathic idealist, which uses insights and creativity to help others. They think about how the world could be a better place and a more beautiful place.
That's my largest one.
And then there's the analytical thinker, solves logical problems with rational, complex analysis. They think in innovative ways to improve systems.
That's your largest one.
Right.
Not even surprised by that. Hence is Enneagram number five.
The practical caretaker is the other quarter, which helps people in practical, everyday ways. Uses established institutions to maintain stability and security, which is my smallest.
Yeah, but we are kind of the same on that one, it looks like.
Yeah.
Very similar in that one.
And then the other quarter is the logical mechanic. This ensures accuracy and efficiency in logical systems. People in this category, when they're large in this, uses proven methods to accomplish real-world goals, which is my second largest. My third is the empathic idealist. And I think that has
one was
to do,
my smallest. What? Like the teeny. Teeny tiniest.
Yeah.
But I think that's honestly... From being a teacher and like doing what I do, I think that.
Well, no, I agree.
My yellow being as large as it is, it makes complete sense for my profession and like how I handle most things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Most of the time. That's interesting.
They based on how these are shaped, they have nine different patterns. I don't know what those patterns look like or what the other six are, but we see emotional pattern, motivation pattern, and a social pattern.
My guess is I'd be social. My guess is you'd be mechanical or motivational.
But there's six other patterns that we don't see.
Oh, shit, there's nine. I got you.
And, of course, we'll look deep into that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how your circle, like if this is big, this is small, whatever, that fits into that category.
Right.
Interesting. I this was not my favorite personality test thing to take, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I didn't get very much out of it. Even though it's not, it's much more broad, I guess, in the way that they handle things. It's like you're either this or you're that. You know what I mean? And if you're somewhere in the middle, I guess you have traits of both. I felt like I got the most out of the, for myself, honestly, I got the most out of the Enneagram when we did.
Well, yeah, because I think that's,
That one to me is much more self-reflective, I think.
I think because that one deals more in astrological type of things. Like it's more, I don't want to say it's like more zodiac based because it's not based off your zodiac, but it has more of that whimsical.
Earthy.
Yeah, like it's very rooted in not science.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, yeah, and I think,
but it is in science though. We did that. They did. There were psychologists who came up with
right,
it.
Right, but
it's based in science.
It's not based in science. It's psychologists that used stuff that was historical through stars searching.
Made their own interpretation.
Yeah, and they pulled it in off of that they use. Yeah, that I just think it's
the
most
self-reflective out of the whole bunch. Like, I feel like it makes you better understand yourself based on your thing. Like, these, I feel like, I think it's okay. But this is my least favorite one.
I don't think it's my least favorite one. I think for me, it's more like each one does something different. Mm-hmm. And if you can find how they benefit you to understand your personality better, that's great. Because the Enneagram, the Myers-Briggs, and this Big Five personality test are where they give you like similar insights to yourself, like being an extrovert or introvert.
Yeah, I mean, I am similar across all three for sure. There's definitely commonalities between all of them.
Yeah.
And I wasn't so far off on any of them that it didn't make sense with the result.
Yeah, and I think understanding those things and using them all to your advantage actually brings out a better self-awareness, self-understanding, and getting you into a place where you can better deal with other people.
Yeah.
Like understanding, like, say you work in a office and you have problems working with a certain individual.
Mm-hmm.
If you knew what that person's personality types were.
Yeah.
Like, and you knew yours and understood how to interact with them based off how they, like, you're an introvert and they're an extrovert. You're like, they're all over you. And you're kind of like reserved and you have a problem with that. Then understanding those things may help you in turn deal with them better.
Yeah, I get you.
Understand how to go, you know, like we talked about how we deal with certain friends or certain family members.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we're like, oh, this person like drives me insane. You know, my cousin just, and I'm just using something hypothetical. My cousin just completely, they just annoy the shit out of me or something like that. Right. And you realize, well, but they go to you.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. They go to you because you have this personality. They're communicating to you in a way that they would communicate because this is who they are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really agree with you, but they're coming to you because of who you are and your personality.
Right.
So if you can figure out how to adjust how you deal with them, might bring down a situation because you see what I'm saying, though.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to learn certain things about people and understanding personalities, like just being able, like me and you doing these tests, like all five of them, and understanding each of the personality traits.
Yeah.
Okay. That gives us, like, so we would start to see people, well, if people are acting like this, they're a 6 on the Enneagram, or their agreeableness is like a 20%. You know, you start to see, or they're like a INST or a INTJ or a ISTJ or a ESTJ or whatever it is, ENFJ on the Myers-Briggs, whatever that pops off, you go, oh, I can see this personality in them, so I understand that they're more... Their tendencies are to be more like this.
Yeah.
And I should deal with them in this because I think where emotional maturity and emotional intelligence is a big thing, I think understanding these gives you a better emotional intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how to deal with people. And I think that grows you as a person. So for us doing this, like in a relationship wise, it's like, you know, I think every couple should at least do the Enneagram and the Myers-Briggs.
Absolutely.
And hell, I mean, maybe do this one as well. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then you can sit down across the table from your partner and go, hey, you know, what's your personality type? And, okay, this is what I am. And, okay, this is who you are. So how do these two match? What are the key areas that we need to focus on? Like, what is it that you innately do or innately feel because of who you are?
Yeah, because it could be things that are making you, pissing you off about the other person, and it's just innately who they are as a personality thing. I think the benefit of it, though, honestly, is like validation firstly. So like, especially when we're doing this and see that, you know, yours is what yours is and mine is what mine is, it validates who we are as people, which is always great. And it gives you a better understanding of your partner, your person, knowing that that's their personality traits. But then it also opens up the door to figure out ways that, you know, like you said, that you can communicate better with these people or sympathize with them differently, empathize with them, you know, figure out the things. Like if you know that somebody is a 2 and they're taking care of everybody in your family and very rarely ever taking time for themselves, then provide that support for them to be able to do that. Like there's ways that you can help them deal with the things that are, you know, the weighing the down stuff of these things. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, for example, I, you know, well, everybody knows now at this point, I retook it and I'm a one, which I figured I was a one. I actually think I'm a one and a two. Like, I think I'm very close to both on the Enneagram. Honestly, I think it just depends on the day I take the test. One's much more like list oriented and, you know, goes along with what with this big five one is a two as well.
Yeah.
But because you know that about me, then you know there's certain things that are going to stress me out based on that personality trait. Just like you, you being a five, I know that you need downtime. I have learned that your quietness does not mean that you're angry or upset. You just need to be quiet.
Yeah.
But that's huge. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big deal. So I'm not asking you, are you okay? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Everything okay? I just leave you alone. Why? Because that's what you want to be left alone about.
Yeah, it's.
So I think those are things that are positives out of this.
Right. It's something you have to understand about people so you can kind of get to the place where, oh, you're an introvert.
Yeah.
So you need a little bit more time to yourself. You need time to kind of, I think introverts, where they can be in extroverted situations, they just need more time to recharge.
Yes, I would agree with you. Absolutely.
Where some people can just go.
And that's where I pull back just a tiny bit sometimes of having that. Because even though, you know, it's like I can go 5 days out of the week, but then I need 6 and 7 to recoup. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where somebody's more introverted can maybe have one big night out a week, maybe two. And then the rest of the time they have to recharge.
Yeah. I think
it's that makes much more sense.
Yeah, I think it's very important.
But see, that's great to know that, because think about that. Like, what if, you know, me being how I am, always wanting to go out, I'm very conscious of the fact that sometimes you need to recharge differently than I do.
Right.
And so I'm conscious of that when I ask you, do you want to do things or go do things? Conscious of that. You know, like, we've already been out twice this week or we've already done something.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll be like, well, I'll run it by you and see if you feel like it.
I think, but
fine,
see,
if not, fine too.
But see, I think that's where also understanding the personality traits of a person is, it gives you a bigger picture. Okay, so let's use this introvert, extrovert type of thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm an extrovert person, but I'm not a super extrovert. I'm more like towards the middle where I'm back and forth.
Yeah, you enjoy social outings, but at the same time, you're completely fine.
Right, but
recharging, I don't, charging on your own.
Right, but see, I think for me, if you look at all the other aspects of whether it's my Enneagram, my Myers-Briggs, or this Big Five personality test, you see those where it's more of not like I'm emotionally needing to recharge because I need to develop my own time to myself. It's more of that I just don't care to have all the social interaction all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's more like I'm just fine. Like,
you'd rather have it in quality versus a quantity.
Well, I could go out, like, say I could go out 7 days a week, every night. I don't think it'd bother me. But at the same time, I really don't care. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't need it. I don't need to be in an extroverted situation consistently. I don't have to have, because
well,
I don't feel
I don't feel like I have to either. I enjoy it.
Right.
But I'm also, I mean, because the other day when our friend called us and asked us, we were in jammies hanging out on the couch, whatever. Yeah. And I was like, man, we're already in pajamas. Like, we're already hanging out. And you're like, no, I can go.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, okay, then I'll go. You know, well, that kind of thing.
It was more because I heard taco truck, but.
Well, yeah. But I mean, it was fine when I went out, but like, it just depends. My
extroverted
more,
situations with food trucks always make me go.
Yeah, and they had churros.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But seriously, though.
But yeah, I mean, but I'm in the same boat. I could have taken or leave it. I had fun once we went out. It was awesome. I had a great time.
Yeah. And you're right. I think that, but understanding the whole circumference of things. So there's people like we're saying, like, I just need time to myself so I can emotionally rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because people are just so exhausted from being around other people so much because it drains
and
them.
It will happen.
So that type of person, you need to see that. Like, for me, it's like, hey, you want to go? I'll tell you yes or no. Most of the time, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't care. Yeah, whatever you want to do, because that's me. I don't care. Also, there's the thing that it plays in the fact of, like, people who are very analytical, logical thinkers, critically thinking all the time, doing analysis all the time throughout the day. There's a point in their day where they
are done.
Yeah, I call it decision fatigue. Like, we're just kind of done with the day. So it's not really being an introvert or extrovert. It's just more like, I just don't care.
I want somebody else to tell me what I need to do.
Yeah, tell me where we're eating tonight, because damn it, I don't want to decide that.
Yeah, and we very rarely is it me that's decision fatigued. Yeah. There are rare occasions when we both are. Yeah. Very rarely.
But
yeah. Usually...
It's usually me, though.
But yeah, but you make so many decisions throughout the day. I'd be exhausted if I had your job, too. Like, yeah, you're thinking way different than I have to think at work.
Yeah, and I think that plays to the fact why I am...
And it does make sense why you're like, I don't care, because you just are like, just somebody tell me what to do.
But that's also my ability to do my job, or to be how I am as my personality, is not to be... I don't think you can be overly emotional. I mean, and I'm saying like overly emotionally, like all the time, and a complete logical person all the time. There's no way to mix those two, because
it's head and heart. No.
Yeah. Because you could never really get through the day. Can you separate those things? But if you separate those things, that means you're more of a logical, analytical person. You can compartmentalize shit and move throughout your day.
Yeah. And it's funny that you said that, because I just was talking to my friend at work, and you know, we're talking about things, and I had said to her that I'm a different person at work than I am at home. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm much more cut and dry, much more like black and white with things, and I don't really concern myself with people being angry with me if it means that we're getting a job done or that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Like, be mad with me, I don't care. But at home, or like in my social life, totally not that way.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting how you can just turn it on and off like that.
But I think that's why some of your scores are higher in certain areas. Yeah,
it is. It makes complete sense. Yeah.
Where
that's my agreeableness.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, totally.
So there you go, guys and girls. There's your Big Five personality test. We've talked about the Myers-Briggs. And I think there's other tests that people have created out there. And here's what I want you to think about. There are multiple places to do these tests. You can do a Myers-Briggs in multiple places. You can do the Enneagram multiple places. But I suggest using like I'm not a sponsor by no means for Truity, but Truity has all the personality tests in one place. It's
even the Enneagram ones on there too?
Yeah, that's where we did the Enneagram.
Oh, okay, we did. Yeah, I thought so.
So all my personality tests are on Truity. And the only reason I used that, I did the personality test on 16 personalities, but
I like the art.
But I redid it on Truity, and I'm actually not an ENFJ by that test.
I kind of wondered you were not an F. It's the F, right? The feeling that came out.
Let's see. Let me go back.
TJ. ENFJ. ENTJ.
Yeah, my best match is an ENTJ, which is only one letter off. I'm an ENFJ, I used to be, but the feeling has in turn gone to the thinking side.
I agree.
Which I agree more. But I think when I was an ENFJ, it was like the feeling portion was like...
You might have been a half, just this side of the other side.
It was like 51%.
I do think I remember that.
But it's also, I don't know if all the tests use the same exact questions or the same exact way.
I got you. Yes.
So it could have been like just worded differently and I just hit it this way. But absolutely. Yeah. So I'm more into a ENTJ.
That makes more sense, honestly.
Yeah.
But look, you have a good match there with the INTJ.
Yeah, but that's just because my introverted extroverted is close to...
Half.
Yeah. So yeah.
No, you're definitely extroverted.
But you see here, it's like almost 60-40% extroverted, introverted, which was also my...
Yeah, same. On your Big Five.
My Big Five.
Yeah, you're definitely extroverted. I don't think you're introverted at all.
No, because I don't think I could do a lot of things that I do being a complete introvert.
No.
So.
In public speaking, and not that that's like same, but that's a huge one.
But that was, you know, that's funny because public speaking used to freak me the hell out. Like when I was a kid, I couldn't get in front of a class.
I think it's a confidence thing as you've gotten older. Probably.
No, it's a mental thing.
Mental.
Yeah, it's completely mental. It's completely going through the military and being forced to do things that you don't normally do.
Yeah, I get you.
Like if you move up in rank, you know, you have to go out in front of a formation and speak. You have to run cadence. You have to take control of PT.
Yeah, your experiences gave you confidence.
Yeah, you remove the thought of fear and become the person that you need to be in that moment. And then, of course, going through and becoming a youth pastor and, you know, doing sermons and speaking in front of large audiences and massive amounts of people, it just becomes like, okay, now...
I never had an issue. It's very weird.
Yeah, but see, I think that's why I'm still more towards an introverted type of person.
Of it, yeah.
Because deep down in me, I have that wanting not to be...
Just that part in there. Yeah, I get you. So, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, guys and girls, I hope you take it. We will also put a link up, if we don't have a link up, in the description to go and take your Big Five personality test and find out what your ocean score is. Ocean. And let us know how you do it.
I just like saying it.
What?
Ocean. I don't know why.
Oh, my goodness.
It just sounds like it should be like that. Ocean. No?
I guess.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
Ocean.
It's your world. I'm just living in it.
It's Mel's world. I was getting ready to sing Elmo's World, but then I stopped because your look on your face was a pure, like, a woman. I'm going to take you out.
Okay. So with that said, we're going to close up the show. Don't forget to check us out on the Instagram. We don't do much on there, but we do post some weird shit every
once in a
while. I
know, I've been so slack. I got to get back on it.
Well, I mean, you know, we just, again, it's that time of the year where things get busy. We kind of haven't been doing the Music for the Messes podcast because our buddy Mike is probably like super stupid busy as well.
Yeah.
It just gets to that point where you're just really trying to get through life. And when it's not your job and it's your hobby, sometimes the hobby has to take a side.
See, yeah, it's true.
Gotta get in the back seat. But anyways, keep paying attention to things.
Look in your toilets for snakes.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially if you're in the land of Brazil.
Yeah, if you have $100,000,
Australia,
and would like just a chicken nugget,
I will send you. I'll send you a chicken nugget for $100,000.
I'll find you one.
Yeah,
and
hell, I'll make it myself. I will personally make the chicken nugget
homemade
in the shape.
Chicken nugget.
I'll make it in the shape you want it.
Chicken nugget.
Whatever chicken nugget you want, I'll make it in the shape you want it.
Yeah.
And if you want a Darth Vader chicken nugget, guess what? Keith will hook you up.
Damn.
And I'll even get it to you at a discount, $50,000.
Oh wow, babe.
Word.
Killing it.
I wonder if it's because of the random nature that the chicken nugget became that shape. You know what I'm saying?
It is a really random shape, though. Honestly, for a chicken nugget, it is a little weird.
Or did somebody do that shit on purpose?
Well, it was breaded.
I don't know.
I don't know. But you know what? I am going to go look at chicken nuggets in a whole different light next time I get them.
Every time I get them, they're all pretty much round.
Well, maybe one day we'll luck out, and one will be shaped like...
Jesus?
Yeah.
That's sacrilege.
A Jesus chicken nugget?
Yeah. Maybe a Judas chicken nugget.
I mean,
we don't know what he looked like.
Chicken nuggets do what chicken nuggets do.
Okay, before we end the show, let's just say this. nobody knows what Jesus looked like. I mean, we don't have an actual picture of Jesus. 90%,
no, made it, right?
90% of people in houses with pictures of Jesus.
He's not white.
They're either white or they're black, and he was neither or because he was Jewish. He was Middle Eastern. He probably looked more like your average guy, that your average Middle Easterner. Whether you know, you can say,
so he had a little olivey colored skin.
Yeah, you know, he's like your guys who that go into your local Mediterranean restaurant.
Yeah.
See your guys working. A lot of those guys are from Israel.
Yeah,
we have a couple in our area. Odie's, they're from the Israel area, I think, and I know the people over at Nazareth
are,
because it's Nazareth, and that's your
now
Jesus.
I want Nazareth food.
Oh, yeah.
Damn those
people. Anyways, don't want to get on a side rant, but
no,
again,
I know. It is true, though. Yeah. You are speaking the truth.
So at that being said, guys and girls, take the personality test. Tell us what you got. Talk to us about it. Maybe start up a conversation. Hey, you never know. Maybe we'll do a little live Q&A on personalities or just hang out and talk. Because, hey, we could do some live, like do some Zoom calls live.
I'm down for it. Ask us anything.
Do a little 30-minute sesh of just like BSing.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, guys and girls, we appreciate it. Don't ever forget in your life, when you're living it, do it loud and bold.
And mediocrity is not an option for us, and it shouldn't be for you.
Word.
Later, Gators. Not in your toilets.
Fucking terrible.